I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As was announced, the topic this morning is God's recipe for success. Now, we all like recipe, right? Whether it's in cooking or some kind of simple steps to follow, all right, in some areas of our life that we want to be good at or we want to achieve. And if today the topic, instead of God's recipe for success, is simply recipe for success, and if you see this book entitled Recipe for Success in the bookstore, I am sure many people will rush for it. Because we all want to be successful in life, don't we? But if I will put a word in front, God's recipe for success, I wonder how many people will buy this book. And of course, as Christians, we ought to be interested to read out and find out what is God's way for us, what is God's definition of success. What is success? What does success mean to you? And what means of measure or what yardstick would you use to measure whether one is successful or the degree of success in your life? Now, I believe if we go through the congregation this morning and just make a simple survey to find out what is success mean to each one of us, and we talk to different people, from the students to adults and people from different backgrounds, I'm very sure we'll get different ideas of what success means to each one of us. And depending on what success means to you, each one of us will strive to take different steps, different directions in our lives to achieve what we reckon as success. And each one of our lives will use different means to measure the degree of success according to our own definition. And if we fall short of that, then I'm very sure we will work very hard to accomplish that. Now, for example, if one perceives success as having the wealth and the riches of this world, then one would work towards gaining more and more wealth and riches, isn't it? And some would even do it at all costs. And they will be very watchful to seize opportunity to increase their wealth and riches. If one perceives social status as a sign of success, then one will work towards recognition and prestige among his peers and among the community at large. The urge to succeed in life is very strong. And some will work very hard, strive very hard at all costs to achieve what they think is success to them. To a Christian, success must not be according to our perception or what we think, neither according to the perception of the world. But it must be according to how God sees it. If you have studied the book of Revelation, there's this church at Laodicea. You don't have to refer to that. There are seven churches listed in Revelation, and there's this church called Laodicea. And the people in this church think that they are doing very well in life. Right? They reckon that they are rich, and they increase with goods. And it was recorded that they have need of nothing. But when the Lord Jesus Christ assessed this church, the conclusion of Lord Jesus Christ is that these people are wretched, they are miserable, they are poor, they are blind, and they are naked. So they perceive that they are very successful in their own eyes, but when the Lord Jesus Christ assessed them, they are found one thing. And you can read this for yourself in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. You can do that when you get home. So for a believer in Jesus Christ, the definition of success must be different from that of a non-believer who will adopt a worldly definition of success. And therefore, the steps in the process to achieve success for a believer and to measure the success in the life of a believer must be different from a non-believer. Now, for a believer, the Bible must be the standard to show us whether are we successful. So our success must be viewed in the light of Holy Scripture, not in the light of what we think, neither what the world thinks. So what is success to a believer? Success to a believer that has believed the Lord Jesus Christ is when that believer is found in the will of God, whatever that will may be, whether in your and different stages of life, whether you're students or adults, that you be found in God's will and you are faithfully living your life within that will, fulfilling your responsibility, fulfilling your duties as a child of God to the glory and honor of God the Father in heaven. So for the youth, for the children, surely your duty now is to study hard, isn't it? But don't study hard for yourself. Study hard for God. If you love the Lord who has died for you and you study hard, you will not want to disappoint the Lord. You want to give your best effort. So study hard for the Lord, and that is God's will for you at this point of time. And do not just give your best to your study wherever the Lord has put you in the school. That is your mission field. That is where you have to share the gospel with your friend, because your elders, your deacons, it will be difficult for them to reach out to your friends in school, isn't it? So that is where you need to reach out to your friends. And for adults who are working, why do we work so hard? Why do you work so hard? Is it for that very few position up there that you want to climb up the ladder? Or do you work hard because you know that you are there to witness for Lord Jesus Christ? You work hard for God. And when people see you, how you trust the Lord in your work, how you are not chasing after position, but you are doing your best to glorify the Lord. And through that testimony, people will see that you have belief in a God that's so different. And to urge them to also want to know this God. So you work hard, is it because of your ambitions or because for your testimony for the Lord? So these are the things that we have considered this morning. For the Christian, do not use the career type to measure success. That if you're in this category of job, you are considered success. If you're in the other category, then you are not considered success. So we don't use the job type for a Christian to see whether they're successful or not. Neither do we use the kind of car that we drive, the kind of houses that we live in, the kind of friends that we meet with, or any other worldly means to measure success. Now, it doesn't mean that God cannot lead you to a particular kind of job and make you very successful in that job. It doesn't mean that. Of course, if that job is glorifying to God and you are sure that that is God's will for you and you are faithfully serving God in that area of your job, God can grant you success in the job and make you perhaps even be the top person in that job. Many examples we have, right? Daniel, Joseph, right? Joseph is second to Pharaoh. Daniel is second to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so it is possible, but the main thing is that we want to follow God's way to lead us to success. That is very important. So what are the steps that a child of God must observe and obey in order to be found in God's will, doing what God wants you to do, and then be successful in what you are doing. Three very simple steps are given here in Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6. Very simple steps. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Number one, lean not unto thy own understanding. Number two, number three, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and the result will be he shall direct thy paths. Very simple step. Three very simple steps. But how often we fail short of these steps? If we are so careful to follow the recipes of other things, whether in cooking or in other things. But these are three very simple steps. But how come many a times we fall short of it? So let us look through each of these steps and see how we can encourage ourselves in the Lord this morning. The first step we have to ask ourselves is, where is the basis of our trust? Where's the basis of our trust? Now, trust is a very effective and very persuasive means to cause someone to channel all his attention, all his energy onto something or onto a person, including self, whom he or she chooses to place his trust. You see, if, for example, someone trusts in wealth and money, thinking that that is a solution to all problems in life, then the person will channel all his energy to gain more and more riches and wealth, because he thinks that that is what's life all about, and that will give him all the solutions to his problem, isn't it? So, trust is a very important element in the recipe of success. The question we need to ask ourselves is, where is the basis of our trust this morning? And in verse 5 here, we are commanded to trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and to lean not unto our own understanding. Now, the word trust in the original Hebrew is a command. It's a command. Every command as a child of God, we must obey. So it's a command. So here we are commanded not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust the Lord with all our heart. So the most important ingredient to achieve success in life is therefore trust. Trust. But this trust must not be on something else, not on yourself, not on anything, but entirely on God. Entirely on God, because we are to trust the Lord with all thy heart. All thy heart. Alright? You know, sometimes instead of trusting God in a situation, it is so easy we just run away from our problems. We just run away from our situation. Right? But we know that nothing happened by chance to a believer. In every situation that God put you in, God has a purpose for that. That through those situations, you can be strengthened in your faith as you see how God can lead you through the problems. And those situations are like stepping stones to help you increase your faith step by step. But how often we simply run away from the problems if we have another way to go, isn't it? What is trust really? Trust basically means that to put confidence, your confidence in someone or something, that we believe in our heart that that person or that thing whom we put our trust in is good for us and can be relied upon. So basically means putting your confidence on something or someone whom you think is correct, is good, whom you can rely upon. Right? Now, trust is a very potent and motivating force. So we've got to be careful where we put our trust in. It's a very potent force that's very motivating. And it will drive a person to achieve what he or thinks important in his life or her life. So what is important in your life? what, or do you think, what is success in your life? What's important? See, what you view important are very often linked to how you define success in your life. So what's the basis of a trust? Is your trust in God, or is it in something else which we think will bring us the success that we want? See, our tendency always is to put our trust on something that we can touch, we can feel, we can see. And sometimes God seems to be very far away, isn't it? Alright? So that's the tendency of our weakness, to put our trust on things that we can feel, touch and see. Or in someone who we think is in control. Right? For example, we can usually put our trust on ourselves. Right? We want to be master of our own life, or on the material foundation that we have built up over the years. Right? Perhaps you have seen how these things that you have accumulated have benefited you. And therefore, you tend to put your trust in those things. However, here, we are commanded in verse 5 to put our trust in God. Now, our trust in God, it is not an empty trust. It's not, yeah, trust the Lord. And we just simply say that it's not an empty trust. Our trust in God, or in the Lord, is on the person, you see. The focus is in the Lord. So our trust is not an empty trust. It is on the character and attribute of that person whom we trust. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? He is the God Himself, the creator of universe, the whole wide world, universe, creator of you and me. He is the all-powerful God, we know that. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-present God. He's even present with us today. He's the God that's in control of every event of the world. He's the God that knows the end from the beginning. He's the God that knows what is truly good for you, what is truly beneficial to you, and will only give you what is best to you. So our trust is not on something that is hollow, not something that is empty, but it is on the true and living God, who is powerful, who is able to lead you in the way you're supposed to go and grant you success in His own good time. The question is sometimes, why are we not trusting the Lord? We know all these things. We know all these things. We know that God is real and living. We know that God, you know, is powerful, but why sometimes we are not trusting the Lord? Is it because that we have lack of knowledge of God? We fail to really know who God is, and sometimes that can be a problem. Right? We have our knowledge of God is, or we believe in a God that is small, you know. We don't have a deeper understanding of who God is. And because of this, we think we are in better position to help ourselves than to trust the Lord. Is it because the Lord is too far from you, or you are too far from God? Or is the Lord real in your life? So some of these questions we must ask, why are we not trusting the Lord? Right? Because if we know who the Lord is, we really know who the Lord is according to Holy Scripture, then our life, our behavior must be consistent with that belief, isn't it? Right, if we know that God is powerful and mighty, then why are we not trusting Him? So there are a lot of inconsistencies sometimes we've got to check our life. Our life must be according to what we profess, that we believe, that we know the Lord. Okay? And what is the nature of our trust? The nature of our trust is with all thy heart. With all thy heart, which means it's a total trust without any entertainment of any doubt whatsoever, without wavering. It is to rely entirely, totally upon God and have a total confidence in God, who know us more than we ourselves. God know us more than we ourselves. It is not simply saying that, yes, I trust the Lord. You know, it's not just to give God lip service, okay? It's not just to give God lip service. But it is the exercise of your heart, your whole heart, including your will as well. So we are to commit every matters, all matters entirely unto the Lord, and we are to rest in the Lord completely. So it is really putting our knowledge into practice, not just simply saying, I trust the Lord, to profess with your mouth. All right, and then when a situation comes, all right, you are not exercising that trust. So it is putting that knowledge into practice. It is taking God at His word. Whatever God says, He will fulfill it. The question is, do we dare to take God at His word? I'm not asking you to challenge God or to prove God, but important thing is to believe in God's word, to take it as it is, and exercise on the word of God. It's to putting our knowledge into practice. So our walk with the Lord, our manner of life and behavior, the way we relate to people or the problems in our life, must be consistent with our knowledge of God. Okay, if we know that God is sovereign, if we know that God is in control of everything, that God wills only what is good for you, then you must put that knowledge into practice, but be consistent with what you believe who God is. So we are not to put our trust or confidence in anything or anyone, including ourselves, because the later part of verse 5 tells us that we are not to lean unto our own understanding. We are not to lean on our own understanding. So we are to trust God to give us what God deems best for us. And that may not be necessarily what you desire in your heart. Okay? Now, the trust that we have in God requires us to exercise our spiritual appetite beyond our physical needs or our physical wants. It requires us to exercise our spiritual vision to see life beyond this present life. Okay, so God will only give what is best to you, which is not necessary what your heart's desire. You have to trust Him to give you His very best, which is the best for you. And sometimes people might think trusting God is very passive. Okay, we just trust God and it appears that nothing is happening. Okay, now my friend, it is not so. When you trust God, when you obey His word, when you engage in prayer to Him, and when you do whatever that God enables you to do within your means while you wait for Him, then God will work out all things and lead you in the direction of His will, which is the best for you. We need to be patient as we trust God. We need to wait upon Him because God's timing is perfect. It's never too early, never too late. Right? We must not run before the Lord and take things into our own hand. Why are we not to lean upon our own understanding? See, our understanding oftentimes is short-sighted. We can see only that far. But God can see the end from the beginning and able to lead you in the right direction to the right end for you. Oftentimes, we are only interested perhaps for physical good, isn't it? For physical good. But God is more interested in our totality, not just our physical well-being, but most important, our spiritual well-being. Our understanding is tinted with sin. It's tinted with sin. And thus can be deceptive. You know, oftentimes we can be under our own deception. Because the word of God reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. And sometimes what we perceive can be very, very, very misleading. Can be wrong, can be faulty. But God never makes mistakes. And God never lead us in a direction that will be detrimental to us. And oftentimes, we do not know what we want. We really don't know what we want or what is good for us. Right? On the other hand, God knows precisely what is good for you. And God will not withhold anything that is good for you. And that is something that we must believe and exercise of faith. So because our understanding is in a way inferior compared to the wisdom of God, compared to the leading of God, we are therefore not to lean upon our understanding, but to rely totally on God. Of course, God will give you some wisdom, sure, and discernment for you to make decisions. Okay, but most important thing is that you must trust the Lord. You must walk close to Him. When you are walking close to God, reading His Word, anything that you do, I believe the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you and prompt you. The question is, sometimes we are too far away from God. And therefore, whatever we do may not be according to God's will for us. So if you are walking close to God, studying His Word, obeying Him, submitting to the Holy Spirit, and everything you do, you always be careful to seek to honor and glorify the Lord. All right, and with the discernment that God gives you, God able to lead you to make the right decisions. All right. Now, to lean has an idea to lean upon all night. The word lean here has an idea of leaning your whole body on something to get support or to rest upon that something. So we are not therefore to, in a figurative sense, we are not to lean in order to rest on our understanding, in order to get support from our understanding on the issues of life, but to trust in the Lord. The Word of God must be our only judgment in life. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? Many people have different definition. The world will see it differently. So, for a Christian, the Word of God must be your only rule of judgment in life, in all the decisions that you made. So instead of leaning on our own understanding, we are to seek the direction and blessings of God's providence. Otherwise, very likely, we will meet with disappointment. See, God is the fountain of all good. We must believe that God is the fountain of all good. And God has made us to be dependent on Him, to experience His blessings and His goodness. So we must be conscious of this dependence, to trust God to fulfill His promise in meeting our needs according to what He deemed best for us. We must trust God to allow Him to lead us to be found in His perfect will for us, which will be the very best that God has for each one of us. So it is not self-confidence, it is not acting our own understanding to bring about true success in life, but rather trusting God and guided by His Word. The last point in the recipe, in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That is the third step to be successful in God's sight. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Here we refer to what I call the inclusive presence of God, the inclusive presence of God in all that we do and undertake. Again here, the word acknowledge is a command. It's a command from God, and therefore we must, or rather, we are commanded here to acknowledge God in all our ways. Now, how do we acknowledge God? How do we acknowledge God? In practice, when we acknowledge God in our life, it means that we are to know, we are to admit, we are to recognize that the Lord God indeed is the Lord of your life. He is the master of your life, not just a savior. And sometimes we are just happy as to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But to acknowledge God means that you have to acknowledge that He, you have to admit, recognize that He is not just your Savior. He is the Lord and Master of your life. So that is what it means to acknowledge God. And with that acknowledgement that the Lord is the Master of your life, you are then to ascribe to God what is due to Him. What is due to Him as your Master, including His Lordship in your life, and your duty to submit to Him in all your ways. We must recognize His sovereignty, we must recognize His right over us, and we must not just recognize, yes, God is sovereign. Again, consistency. If God is sovereign, then we must submit to Him. We must submit to Him in all our ways. And what that means is that God must therefore be part of the equation in all our plans, in all that we plan to do. In fact, God alone must be the controlling factor of the equation, right? In everything that you plan, God must be the rightful person to sit on the throne of your life. Not yourself, not someone else, but God must be at the throne of your heart, of your life. So in other words, to acknowledge God in practical terms means that God must be included in all that we do, right? In other words, whatever thing that you do, you must think, is this according to God's will, according to the Holy Scripture? How do you know according to God's will? It must be according to Holy Scripture, because God has shown us His will for us in Holy Scripture. Alright, so all that you do, God must be included. Right, we must see His counsel, we must see His guidance, we must see His approval in all that we do. And how do you do that? You do that by His word, revealed to us in Holy Scripture. That's how we can seek God's guidance, God's counsel, and God's approval. Right? And of course, we must obey whatever God's revealed to us in Holy Scripture. And that's how we acknowledge God in practical ways in our life. Now, the word ways here, in all thy ways, the word ways here, in the context here, refer either to our course of life, the course of our life, or our actions, or our undertakings. In other words, in all our undertakings, in all our actions, in our course of life, we are to acknowledge God. Very often what we do is that we only open certain areas of our life to God. Certain areas we open to God, alright? And certain areas we close. Yeah, we guard areas so tightly. And no more, and God cannot, as though God has no right over the areas. Okay, so we include God in some areas, we exclude God in other areas. Now you have to know that as the believers, you are not your own. If you want to do that, if you want to open some areas to God and not other areas, then you are prone to fall into error and mistakes. Okay? Remember, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Further, you have to know that you are not your own. You are not your own. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us we are not our own. We belong to God. God has every right over every area of your lives. And we are to surrender every areas to God. We are not only to acknowledge God when we are in great crisis, when we are forced to a dead end, and then we start to open our life to God and ask God for help. We are to acknowledge God in all situations of our life, all situations of our lives. Okay? In other words, all our plans must be guided by Holy Spirit. All our plans must be guided by Holy Scripture and attended with prayers. But of course, we know that oftentimes what we do is that we will think and plan according to what we think is right, what we think is good for us. Okay? We'll just go ahead and think and plan out and work out all our plans. And then finally, we say, okay, let's commit this to the Lord. We bring our plans to God. And ask God to bless our prayer. Ask God to answer our prayers. And oftentimes we do that. But we already decided what to do, isn't it? We already decided what to do. And then we just simply present to God. And say, God, you know, this is what we have. Okay, may that will be done. But in our hearts, we already decided what to do. In other words, what we must do is that we should seek God's guidance and direction through prayers, guided by Holy Scripture, even before we begin to make any plans. We should submit that to God first. And then the Lord will lead us. Okay, we have God's word in our heart. We read God's word. We hide God's word in our heart. The Holy Spirit is with us. We submit to God to prayer. God will lead and guide us. In a way, God will close certain door, open certain door for us. He will lead and guide us. But if you insist the way that you want to go, then someone God will allow it. if you are so insistent, and sometimes we encounter problems and difficulties. And that's where God will to teach us the lessons to bring us back. So we must begin our plan or our undertaking with God. We must continue with our plan with God, and we must end our plan with God. We are to earnestly seek for His direction at the start of our plan, look for God's continuous support in the progress of the plan, and then we are to terminate our plan with God's glory in mind. And only through this process will we be found in God's will, and can we be assured that all things will work out good to them who love God. Right? Do not seek to serve ourselves in our undertakings, but seek to walk in God's will, and that all things you do, you must seek to glorify Him. The problem again is sometimes we want to be autonomous. We want to be our own boss. And this problem has troubled mankind since the beginning of time. And that's exactly what Eve fell into. She wants to be autonomous. She wants to be like God. So she takes off the fruit that God said you should not eat. Right? We do not want to submit ourselves to be under control by someone. We don't like authority, right? We don't like to submit to some authority. But the truth of the matter is this. Either you submit to God as your loving Heavenly Father now, or you have to submit to Him as a judge for your sin later on. And the Bible warns us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. So it's better that we submit to God as a loving Heavenly Father now than to submit to Him as a judge later on. Now, you have no options, my friend. You have no options. Whether you're lucky or not, God is your creator. Man may say what they want, but we cannot go against the truth of God. So it's important that for those who have not believed Lord Jesus Christ, you better submit to Him now as your loving Heavenly Father, meaning to receive the Lord Jesus as a Savior. We think that we can handle our lives ourselves. Oftentimes, we think that we don't need God to help us make good and right decisions for ourselves, for our family. We rather be self-dependent, self-sufficient, than to admit our need and dependence upon God. But you see, God has made us to depend on Him and to experience His work in our lives. That's very important. The great sin of humanity is the continual rebellion against God, in shutting God out of our lives, in rejecting God, ignoring the assistance of God, and to live a life independent of from God. Right, we want to be master of our own life rather than to give this rightful praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must recognize that God is sovereign and God is infinitely wiser than we are. And He will not withhold anything that's good for us. Right, that is something that we must believe, because sometimes we are very short-sighted. We only think for present. We only think for now, 10 years, 5 years down the life, or even the whole lifetime. And we will not see beyond this present life. But whatever that God wants to give you, it is much, much more better than what you desire to have. So acknowledge God in all our ways. The outcome is only good for us and good for our spiritual benefits. And what is the promise here? The promise here is in the second part of verse 6. Right, and He shall direct thy path. In other words, the promise to someone who has trust in the Lord with all his or her heart, and not to lean upon their own understanding, and to acknowledge God in all their ways, okay, the promise is that God shall direct thy paths. The word direct here means that God will make your path smooth, straight, and that your paths will be free from obstacle, and you'll be successful. Now, it doesn't mean that God will not put obstacle there sometimes. God will sometimes put obstacle there. Hindrances there, not to discourage you, but most important, that you will then learn to trust the Lord, you see. And sometimes when things are going fine, the tendency for us is that we become our own pilot. will not depend on God. Sometimes God will put problems, difficulties there, so that you will learn to trust on Him. You will draw close to Him. And when you see God's hand working in you, helping you overcome these difficulties, your faith will be strengthened. Your faith will strengthen. So all these things that God put in your path, alright, it is good for us. Yeah, eventually, you will conform more and more to the Lord Jesus Christ as your faith is being strengthened. So we must follow the injunction given to us here to trust in the Lord, not to lean on our understanding, and to nourish God in all our ways. And if we follow those injunctions, then the promise is that God will direct thy paths. God will direct thy paths. God will lead those who wholly trust Him directly to the right end. God will remove all hindrances of their way. And when things did not turn out the way or proceed the way that we wanted, then we must submit to the sovereignty of God and His leading. And we must learn to be still and to know that He is God. Believe that God always does all things right for His own glory and the good of His people, and believe that God makes no mistake. So the question is not whether God will direct your path. God desires to direct your path. God desires to lead all of us to green pasture. God desires to lead all of us to still water, not troubled water. The question is that are we prepared to give the control of the directing of your life to God? Do you want to direct your own life, yourself, or do you prefer to let this directing be given to an all-wise, all-powerful, all-knowing God? The choice is yours. You remember the Israelites when they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. God never left them. God never left them. But God showed His presence in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The Israelites, when they wandered the wilderness, they are not to go anywhere they want. Right? But they are to follow God's leading. God went before the Israelites every time in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire to lead them in the way they are to go, whether by day or whether by night. And the Lord took not away the pillar of cloud, neither the pillar of fire before His people. But God directed His people to where they are to journey in the wilderness through the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. When the tabernacle was set up, the pillar of cloud was there to cover the tabernacle. Right? The pillar of cloud was there to cover the tabernacle by night and the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the Israelites are only to set off their journey when the cloud was taken up. Right? Another, when the cloud abode in the tabernacle and the cloud wasn't taken up, the Israelites are not supposed to move. Even for a long duration, if the cloud remained there, they are to remain there for days, for months, for years. They are only supposed to move when the cloud was taken up and follow where the cloud led them. So the Lord commanded His people to journey or not to journey through the movement of the cloud. Okay, for as long as the cloud remained on the tabernacle, they're supposed to obey God's commandment and stay put and rest. But when the cloud is taken up, then they follow. So at the commandment of the Lord, the people rest. At the commandment of the Lord, the people journey. So that's how the Lord led His people 40 years through the wilderness until they safely arrive at the promised land. To this new generation of Israelites, because we know that those are 20 years and below, God destroyed them. So to this new generation of Israelites, the terrain through the wilderness is new to them. Right? There are surprises, there are dangers around them, the enemies are watching them, their physical needs and their wants will consume them. But the Lord God was ever that faithful guide, that faithful provider, and a faithful sustainer. And the Lord never failed them. Alright, rather the people that failed God many times. Their journey through the wilderness is not without challenges. There are many battles to fight. And oftentimes these battles are against enemies more mighty than they. But through these challenges, through these battles, and through the victories that was won, the Israelites learned precious lessons of obedience and trust, so that when they are ready to claim the promised land, they are ready to move in to trust the Lord. The God that led Israelites safely and successfully to possess the promised land is the same God that will lead and guide us today. He will lead us and guide us successfully and safely through our journey of life. The question you must ask is, that do you want this God to take charge of your life, to chart the course of your life, to yield to his leading and direction, or do you want to chart the course of your life yourself? God knows the right way to the right ends. He knows what is good and beneficial to us. He's able to free you from all harm and lead you in the path of safety and righteousness. Therefore, it is wise for us to put our confidence and trust wholly in this God and not to lean on our own understanding. Now, for if you have not believed the Lord Jesus Christ, what is success to you? What is success to you? Yes, God could have, by his grace and mercy, could have blessed each one of us with plentiful, with good jobs, good family, good friends, and these are the general blessings of God. There's nothing wrong with those things. But the question, if you have not a believer, you must ask is this: the success that you have, at best, will only last you a lifetime. Right? Only last you a lifetime. You may have everything that you want. You know, in the outside world, there's such thing called the pyramid of needs, right? The lower pyramid, lower level where they meet their basic needs of life, and the pyramid will go up, and the upper top there is what they call self-actuation. When people reach that level, what else do? They give money away. Philanthropies. What else beyond that? So the success you have, you can have everything in life, but remember the success will only last a lifetime. But be warned by the word of God. And the word of God reminds us, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do not trade your success with eternal life. The most important thing really is that you have to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because beyond success, what else do you need? You need the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, because there's life beyond the grave. For a believer, what is success to you? Success to you will be when you are found in God's will and you are faithfully fulfilling your duties and responsibility in that will to the glory and honor of God. And that can only happen if God is directing your paths and when you are fully leaning upon him and trusting him with all your heart, and to acknowledge God in all your ways. We have just read a passage just now in Joshua 1:8, and I just want to end with that passage again. See, before Joshua led the people across Jordan to claim the promised land, what would you think Joshua would do? To a worldly thinking, right, if you're going to fight the battle, you better get all your gear ready. You better build up all your store of weapons, right? And you better make sure you train your army hard to fight the battle. But it's very strange to a worldly people, but not strange to us, okay, the kind of, I call the recipe of success that God gave to Joshua. And we just read that in Joshua 1:8. I'll read to you again. He said here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So the way for success for Joshua, right, it is that the people has to follow God and obey His commandment. True, correct, Joshua has his responsibility to move his army in. He needs to strategize. But in the midst of his responsibility, he has to sit to obey God. Because the battle is of the Lord. Now, if the Israelites want to fight the battles themselves, they'll lose the battle. They lose the battle, friend. Because the Bible told us that the enemies are mightier than them. They are mightier than them. But when they depend on God, God goes before them. The battle is of the Lord's. Right? The battle is of the Lord. So it is for us today. Right? Do not be terrified by the problems that you face in your life. And because of this, you take things in your own hand. Or do not be led away by your own perception of what success is. But seek the Lord first. Seek to honor and glorify. Seek to please the Lord. Right? And then trust Him in every situation of your life. Success, the world defines, is at best only good for this life. It can only bring you temporal joy and happiness. But success, the way God sees it, is the way to true happiness, is the way to true satisfaction. And it is to be found only when you follow the will of God and you live your life obedience to His word. So may the Lord help us this morning to trust Him and not to lean our own understanding, and in all our ways to acknowledge Him. Amen.
Thank God for enabling Brother